This morning, I just feel from the Lord to speak to us today about the ground in which battles are won. The ground in which battles are won. Go with me to the book of Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Let's start with verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Let's just pray. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, this word that you put in my heart, God, I know it's the word of the Lord. And Father, when our hearts are open and humble, and just receptive to truth, God, your word comes in, Lord, and does something so powerful within our hearts, something that only God can do. Father, no one really knows like I do and you do what you've done in my heart, in my life. Lord, I know where I come from. I know my past. I know the man that I used to be. And Father, I know what your spirit and the power of your word has produced within my heart. And Father, that's all of our testimonies, Lord. Those that really love you and walk with you and our hearts are just open to you. Lord, only my brothers and sisters know, Lord, what you have done in their heart and in their life. Only they know the miracles behind their hearts and their lives. So God, we just rise up, Lord, and we bless you today. We thank you that there's power in the Holy Spirit and power in your word. And Father, we open our hearts to you now. Father, I'm asking every wall of pride would be dropped. And Lord, we would just approach you now with humility in our heart, to hear what it is that you want to speak. And Lord, we know the testimony of truth is always life. That God, you do something in our heart that only God can do. Father, we give you glory and honor for everything that you're doing in our heart and through our life. All the glory goes to the Lord. God, we love you this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Hey, let me say that again. I only got a few. I think there's more than a few in this house that really love the Lord. Do you love the Lord this morning? Yes. Amen. I just cannot help but stand here with a grateful heart and in awe of the Lord. Just thinking about this morning, the 16 and a half years I've walked with God and what I've seen God do in my heart and what I've seen the Lord do through my life. And I'm telling you, he is an awesome, mighty God. And when we just quit being churchy and religious and just really begin to really walk with God, you will see God do things that only God can do. And I wouldn't trade this relationship for religion for anything. Amen. I'm not just here in church to fulfill some kind of obligation because I'm a Christian. I'm here to honor and serve the Lord. How about you? And God shows himself awesome in that. Well, let's get to the message. Amen. The ground in which battles are won. More than ever before, by the stirring of the Holy Spirit, more than ever before, if I've never known it, well, I know it today by the stirring of the Holy Spirit, that God has called his church to be a warring church. That God has called his church to be a warring church. A church that understands that she has a mission from God, that God has called her to a mission, and that she has a real enemy that is everything within his power trying to stop her from fulfilling her mission. That God has given her, his church, weapons of warfare that are mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds. And the success or the failure of her mission depends upon her rising up and taking hold of her weapons and going forth in the power and the might of the Lord. And our assurance is this, as a church, that if we do rise up and take the weapons that the Lord has placed within our hands and really begin to fight for souls and fight for truth, we will win battle after battle after battle. We will see God glorified through great victories as we continue to march in faith and in obedience to the Lord using those weapons. And what are some of these victories? We talk about taking ground and seeing battle after battle after battle won. What are some of these victories? Well, brothers and sisters, really the list is really endless. What are these victories? Seeing souls saved. Seeing marriages healed. Seeing lives, hearts transformed. Seeing God's people continually being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Outreaches, going out of the church and being planted and being established and empowered by the Holy Spirit that's truly bringing forth fruit for the glory of God. Seeing the Lord raise up laborers, placing his hands upon people's lives and giving them the heart of God and calling them out to the harvest field. Brothers and sisters, really the list is endless when we talk about winning battles and winning victories for the glory of the Lord. And of course, we know the battles begin in warring in prayer. As the Lord's church is faithful to pray. You know, here on Tuesday nights, you just let me talk about it again. It's just something I'm really excited about, and I'm going to be talking about it for a while. But here on Tuesday nights, we've started a Bible study about what it really means to be a soldier in the Lord's army. And we've talked about the calls to rise up to fight and how God is looking for a few good men, that is through the trials and testings of life that God calls his soldiers. He doesn't just place the calling of a soldier on anybody's life. He's going to put you in trials. He's going to put you in testings. And when we show ourselves faithful, then God says, I will qualify you to be a soldier. But if disobedience is the normal in our life, then God says, oh, I'm going to stamp a 4F on your card. You don't have what it takes to be a soldier. And then we talked about God's boot camp, how Judges 3 says the Lord left the enemy in the land to teach his people that didn't know how to war, how to warfare. That God will allow the enemy to come and harass your life and oppress your life to teach his people how to rise up and stand on the word of God and to use their weapons of prayer. And then in our last Bible study, we talked about heaven's artillery actually getting into the war itself. And we talked about how America, their war with the Japanese in World War II, how President Roosevelt and all of his generals understood that if they were going to conquer the Japanese in World War II, there were just strategic islands in the Pacific that they had to take as on their march to the Japanese homeland. But the only problem was the enemy knew this too. They knew the strategic islands that the Americans would need to build up their bombers and their air force and begin to hoard up the army and the Marines and everything that they would need to make that invasion upon the Japanese homeland. The enemy knew that too, and they began to fortify these islands with heavy artillery. And brothers and sisters, before the infantrymen could actually go in and take these islands, The artillery of the enemy, the heavy weapon of the enemy, the heavy weaponry of the enemy, they had to be taken out. They had to be cleared, because if they weren't cleared, the infantrymen wouldn't stand a chance on the battlefield. And let me just read an excerpt from the book that we are working out of. And I think you'll just get a clear understanding of what I'm saying. In World War II, battleships were used to destroy the enemy's heavy weaponry before ever sending infantrymen to the beaches. Infantrymen were no match for the heavy weaponry of the enemy. If the enemy's heavy weapons were not destroyed, the infantry would suffer tragic and heavy losses. Oftentimes, the success of the infantry's mission depended upon the battleships clearing out the enemy's strongholds. Advancing God's kingdom in our world today works the same way. Prayer is the weapon that goes into the high places and destroys the enemy's strongholds. Outreaches will not be near as effective as they can be without the power of prayer behind them. Let me just read that again. Outreaches, the infantry, will not be near as effective as they can be without the power of prayer behind them. Brothers and sisters, prayer is undoubtedly heaven's artillery. There are just demonic strongholds that only the power of prayer can destroy, can demolish. Jesus Christ himself said, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. There is a stronghold. It doesn't matter how much you preach the gospel to it. There is a stronghold. It doesn't matter how much truth you target and speak to it. If that truth and gospel is not backed up by a life that's consecrated by prayer and fasting, the Lord says there are some strongholds that won't be broken. Brothers and sisters, prayer is heaven's artillery to take out hell's artillery. And while I believe this with all my heart, saints that are members of a church and planted in the church, they have to understand that if their church is going to be everything God designed it to be, and if their church is going to be as effective as it can be, then they have a responsibility to pray. They have a responsibility to come to prayer meetings and be faithful to prayer meetings as much as they can be, because, brothers and sisters, prayer is what takes out those strongholds of the enemy. Prayer. Now, there's something really specific on my heart this morning. I really want to look at Joshua chapter 5. We're in Joshua chapter 5. Look with me at verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord of hosts am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So here in these scriptures, Joshua is by Jericho, and he and his army is now ready to go into Canaan land and fight the battles and take the ground that the Lord wants them to take. And the Bible says that Joshua was by Jericho. And when you really look at this passage of scripture and study it out, it's not so much that Joshua is with his army and he's on the war path. When you look at it, it really looks like what Joshua is doing is he's speculating. He hasn't had a clear word from the Lord yet how to defeat Jericho. And being as massive as the walls and as massive as the city of Jericho was, I'm sure he's there and he's speculating. He's looking at the fortification of the walls and the city. And in his mind, he's trying to figure out, well, what is the best way to go against this city and take this city? That's what he's doing. And the Bible says that as he was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes. Brothers and sisters, that strongly implies a place of meditation and prayer. He lifted up his eyes. He was just in a place of prayer with God. He was in a place of meditation with the Lord. And the Bible says when he lifted up his eyes, he saw a man standing before him that had his sword drawn in his hand. And not discerning that this is a heavenly being from heaven itself, Joshua asked the man, are you for us or are you against us? Whose side are you on? And immediately he gets the revelation in his heart that, listen, this is not flesh and blood, but this is a heavenly being from heaven itself. And when he gets that revelation that this is a heavenly being from heaven itself, his heart is suddenly smitten and he falls down before this heavenly being in a place of worship and in a place of humility. Now, here's what I want us to understand. Allowing Joshua to see the captain of his host with his eyes, the Lord was speaking two truths to Joshua. First of all, the Lord was saying to Joshua, he's saying, Joshua, as you are about to go into the land and begin fighting, there is something that you need to understand. In all your battles, you are not fighting alone. Though we are invisible to your eyes, we are more real than you are, and we are fighting alongside with you. That's what he's telling Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, the whole heavenly host of heaven is with you. You will fight the battles, and we will be the power behind your victories. As you march in obedience, and as you fight in obedience, we will be the power behind your victories. And brothers and sisters, we understand that as a church, it's not by might, it's not by power. That as we march forth in obedience to the Lord, obedience will be the channel that the Holy Spirit flows through our lives and does what only God can do. Tearing down the enemy's strongholds and advancing the kingdom of God. Secondly, in allowing Joshua to see the captain of his host with his eyes, this is what the Lord was saying to Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, these battles that you are going to fight, they're not your cause. It's God's cause. You are just the obedient vessel God is going to use to fulfill his plan and purpose. See, Joshua asked him, he said to the captain of the Lord's host, he said, are you on our side? And the captain of the Lord's host said, no, I'm not on your side. You're on God's side. This is not your cause, Joshua. This is God's cause. This is what is in God's heart to do. And you are just the obedient vessel that he's going to use. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand, no matter what God calls us to do, no matter what he has for our life, no matter where he plants us in his ministry, whatever ministry that may be, whether it's on the job or raising children, whatever God's call is for our life, we have to understand it's God's cause. He's the one that plants us. He's the one that anoints us because it's in his heart. It's his burden. It's his heart. Now, let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. No pastor can ever walk into their church and say in their heart, this is my church. No, it is not a pastor's church. It is God's church. God is the one that put it in someone's heart to build it. God is the one that's providing the money to pay for it. God is the one that is raising up the laborers to work in it. God is the one that's anointing the services and the ministries to change the hearts of people that come to it. Brothers and sisters, it is God's church. It comes from his hand. It comes from his planting. It comes from his heart. It comes from his passion. It comes from his burden. God is the one with the cause. Now we have to understand. See, here's the rest in that. Listen, if God is the one that established a church, planted a church, it's truly him, then he's the one that's going to take care of it. He's the one that's going to bless it. He's the one that's going to anoint the services and anoint the ministers. He's the one that's going to do it. He's the one that's going to oversee it. He's the one that's going to take care of it. And as long as we stay in that place of humble and obedience to the Lord, he will do it through our life. But it's his cause. It's his gospel. It's his passion that he shares with his people. It's his cause. Now look with me at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And I really want to emphasize his sword drawn in his hand. So again, Joshua is by Jericho and he sees the captain of the Lord's host with the sword drawn in hand. And this so speaks to me about the captain of the Lord of hosts just anticipating the battle. See, Joshua comes upon him and this captain already has the sword drawn in his hand. He's anticipating the battle. But more than that, he's not just anticipating the battle, he's anticipating the victory. He's anticipating seeing God's will be done in the earth. There's an anticipation in his heart. And brothers and sisters, it goes back to one more time, just something that I have been saying. There is an anticipation in God's heart. In these last days, there are so many things God wants to do in this earth. There's so many things that he wants to do in his church. And there's an anticipation that's in his heart, brothers and sisters. There's an anticipation that's in his heart. An anticipation. And I believe with all my heart, God is so ready to give his church victories. There are so many victories, so many battles he's ready to bring his church into. So many victories he's ready to give his church as they are faithful to march in obedience and in prayer to the Lord. There is an anticipation in God's heart. I believe when God's people... I don't know. I just believe when God's people truly meet to pray, talking about a prayer meeting. When God's people gather to pray, and they're being led in their prayers by the Spirit of God, there's a desire in their heart to say, God, what are the things that are on your mind and your heart? Lead us in this prayer meeting. We don't want to just pray general prayers. God, what is it that's on your heart? When their heart is open to do that, I believe with all my heart there are just angels around with swords that are drawn, just anticipating the battles, but yet anticipating the victories. God is ready to give His church victories. Now, with all that said, here is what is really on my heart this morning. Look at me at verse 13 and let's read through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Brothers and sisters, the title of this message that I feel from the Lord is simply this: the ground in which battles are won. So let's just ask the question then. What is the ground in which battles are won? The answer is holy ground. The battles are won on holy ground. Now listen, words are so inadequate. I mean, in this story, Joshua comes and he suddenly gets a realization in his heart that he's on holy ground. And here's the question. What is it that made the ground holy? Let me tell you what made the ground holy. What made the ground holy was simply the presence of the Lord had come. And the presence of the Lord was suddenly there. And that made it holy. The ground is suddenly consecrated by the presence of the Lord. God is there. Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Words are so inadequate to describe the fullness of what this means. But what I simply want to say is this. Listen, when a believer truly understands the reality that a holy God lives in me, it suddenly produces a reverence for God and the things of God. Listen, you can always tell a believer that truly understands the realness of God's presence in their life because you see such a reverence in their heart for God and the things of God. And I'm not talking about religiosity. And I'm not talking about Phariseeism. I'm talking about the revelation that God is alive and He lives in me. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, when we truly understand the realness that this holy God lives in me, it will produce a reverence and a fear in your heart for the Lord and the things of the Lord. Now, when it comes to talking about holy ground, there's a few directions that we can go. There's a few ways that we can bring this out. But this is what is just on my heart from the Lord this morning. When the captain of the Lord's host says, Joshua, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. One of the things he's speaking to Joshua is this. Joshua, God is holy. And as His heavenly army, we can only war with you upon the grounds of truth. We can only war with you upon the grounds of godliness. We can only war with you upon the grounds of righteousness. Joshua, in order for the army of heaven to walk with you and war with you, you have to remain truthful. You have to remain honest. You have to remain upright. Joshua, when deceit comes in. Joshua, when lies come in. Joshua, when disobedience comes in. Joshua, when ungodliness comes in. We cannot war with you anymore. Because the ground in which battles are won is holy ground. It's what he's saying to Joshua here. Amen. Amen. You know, Joshua and them, they win a great battle. They win a great battle. They totally annihilate. The captain of the Lord of hosts totally annihilates the city of Jericho, the Jericho walls. A great battle. But then the Lord gave the instructions. When you go in, Joshua, you and your army, you're not to take any spoils. You're not to take any spoils from Jericho. But we find out a man by Achan, he disobeys the Lord. And he takes spoils. And the very next battle, Joshua and his armies lose the battle. And Joshua goes before the Lord and he says, Lord, why did we lose this battle? Why? And he finds out that Achan has hid something in his tent. Now, I just want you to look at this. Look with me at chapter 7. Go with me to chapter 7. Verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me how what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and in the... and the silver under it. And I really want to emphasize, and behold, they are hid in the earth. And brothers and sisters, what this simply tells me is this. Listen, we cannot hide sin in our life and expect to win battles. We cannot hide. We cannot harbor disobedience in our life and expect to win battles. See, what God is teaching Joshua here is this. He's saying, Joshua, I cannot walk in agreement with hidden sin. If you're hiding sin in your life, if you're hiding disobedience in your life, I can't walk in agreement with that. So the question to me is this, you know, really studying out the scriptures, I have found out before going into any battle, the most important question that can be asked is this, where is my heart at with God? Before going into any battles, that is the most important question that needs to be asked. Where is my heart at with God? Because whether we win the battle or lose the battle, it will depend upon this question here. Where is my heart at with God? Is my heart clean before God? Have I kept my heart clean before God? Is my conscience pure and void of offense before God and men? That's what Paul said in Acts. Paul says, I do train myself to keep my conscience void of offense before God and man. Is our hearts clean with God? Is our conscience? Do we have that heavenly joy that just comes with knowing I'm in obedience to the Lord? Or are we hiding something in our life? Are we hiding sin in our life? Are we hiding some kind of willful disobedience in our life? Something God has put his finger on, but we said, God, I choose to ignore it. And we're hiding it in our heart. God says, listen, you can come to church. You can play church during prayer meeting. You can stand and look like you're a person of authority calling down fire. But you have no authority. Because I cannot walk in agreement with sin and disobedience. There has to be truth. Pastor... Jim Cimbala of Brooklyn Tab came out with a teaching not long ago called When God's People Pray. Powerful study. And there's a chapter in there about prayer and obedience. And this is what he says. God wants an open channel where he can talk. God wants an open channel where he can talk with his people openly and sincerely, and that answers can come down unhindered. But unconfessed sin, disobedience, and things we cling to that we know are wrong, that stops God's power from coming down and getting to where it needs to be. Those broken connections hold us back from receiving the answers we vitally need when we come to the throne of grace. And Pastor Cimbala, talking about how the enemy knows the power of prayer and how he also knows holding on to known disobedience will stop the power of prayer, said this: because Satan understands the potential of prayer far better than we, he has developed cunning strategies to clog the asking-receiving channel. Satan plants these blockages, these disobediences, to keep us from receiving all the grace and mercy we need from the Lord. He then goes on to say, to lose God's blessing because we prefer to cling to our sins is to suffer the most profound tragedy imaginable. In other words, he's saying, imagine the tragedy of swapping the power of prayer for our fleshly sins. What a tragedy it is. When we have such power with God and authority with God in prayer, to swap, to trade that power and authority we have in prayer for our sin. What a tragedy, brothers and sisters, that is. I just want to go to another passage of Scripture. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read through verse 3 and then go to verse 6. Verse 1 says, now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the images of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed therefrom. Now look with me at verse 6. And Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of the Moabite. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Let me just tell you real quickly again what we just read. In this story, King Jehoram, the king of Israel, he wants to go to battle against the Moabites. So he goes to the king of Judah, King Jehoshaphat, and he says, will you join with me to fight the Moabites? And Jehoshaphat agreed. And so King Jehoram and King Jehoshaphat, they take their armies on the war path. And the Bible says for whatever reason, they go through the land of Edom. And in the land of Edom, there is no water. All the water's dried up. And they've went 3 days' journey into Edom, and there's no water, and there's just a despair. I mean, there's no water, there's no life. No life. The people are weak. The people are famished. And suddenly the king cries out in his despair, the Lord has delivered me into the hands of my enemy. And brothers and sisters, he's probably right. He has every reason to think that. Because the Bible says that he worked evil in the sight of the Lord. So he's got this despair in his heart. But I want us to look at King Jehoshaphat's response. King Jehoshaphat, we got to understand, he's a godly king. He's just made a mistake. He jumped into something without consulting the Lord first. He made that mistake, and how many of us have done that? But he's a godly king, but his response is this: listen, we need truth here. We need the word of the Lord here. We need to hear what God is saying in this. So he says, is there not a prophet that we can go to? See, this man is a godly king, and because he's a godly king, he wants to be confronted by truth. In his heart, he wants to know what God is saying. He wants to know what God is speaking. He wants truth. So he says, is there not a prophet? And someone says, well, Elisha lives close by. And Jehoshaphat's response was this: well, I know his reputation. I know the word of the Lord is with him. I know if our hearts are really open to hear truth, he's going to speak truth to us. So they go to Elisha, and Elisha comes. And if you read the rest of the story, Elisha rebukes Jehoshaphat. He says, Jehoshaphat, this is an ungodly king. He cares nothing about God, the glory of God, the honor of God. You should have consulted the Lord before making an allegiance with this man. And then he looks at Jehoram. He says, Jehoram, I would deliver you to your enemies. The only thing that's stopping me, the only thing that's stopping the Lord is you have this godly man here that made a mistake. So God's going to give you the victory. The Lord's going to give you the victory. And you read the story, they go out, they win a great battle. But this is what I want us to understand. Before the Lord gave Jehoshaphat the victory, he had to open his heart to truth. Before the Lord gave him the victory, Jehoshaphat had to come into a place of agreement with God. Now here's where I want to go with this. And please hear my heart. You know, as a pastor, I do a lot of counseling. I mean, over the years, people have come into my office and said, Pastor Tim, I just need some counseling. And as people have sat under my counseling, I could tell they weren't telling me the whole truth. I could tell they were telling truth, but they were only telling truth that they wanted me to hear. And the reason why they do that is because they really just want me to agree with what they're saying. See, they say I'm coming for counseling, but in reality, they're not coming for counseling. They just want me to hear what they're saying and be in agreement with them. See, they're so afraid that if they tell me the whole truth, then I'm not going to agree with them. Or I'm going to say that's something in disagreement with them. Brothers and sisters, if you want the mind of the Lord, if you want the deliverance of the Lord, if you want that truth that makes you free, brothers and sisters, we've got to be a people of truth. Not just half truth, not just a little truth. We have to be truthful with God. You got to be true. It doesn't matter if God is going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. It doesn't matter if you say in your heart, God, if I tell you all the truth, you're going to tell me something that I just don't want to hear. No, brothers, this is the truth that sets you free. It's not just the truth of his word, but it's being truthful with God. It's really wanting to know his counsel. Brothers and sisters, I've sat in counseling sessions and they would only tell half the truth. And because of it, you can't get the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord isn't revealed. Because God's not just going to agree with what we want to hear. We have to open up our hearts and just say, God, speak, even if it's a reproof, even if it's a rebuke. God, you reprove, you rebuke in your mercy. Amen. A lot of people, I'm just telling us today, they think counseling is going to solve their problems, but yet they don't speak all the truth. And what ends up happening is they leave still confused, still in turmoil, still in strife, because the mind of the Lord could not be revealed. Now, let me smite the voice of the devil right now. Somebody is here, sitting here this morning saying, he's talking about me. I've been in his office. He's talking about me. No. There's no one specific on my mind. I'm just telling you what I observed over the years. There cannot be a revealing of the mind of the Lord and the counsel of the Lord. There can't be victory. There can't be deliverance when we just don't open up our heart and say, God, whatever your counsel is, I want to hear it. Brothers and sisters, we can only win victories on the ground of truth. Even at times when it's not what we want to hear. But I am telling you, when you just love God, you just want His will. And when you want His will and not my will, I'm telling you, there is such life in that. There is such a revelation of God in that. No one will ever tell me God is not real, because I've had too many personal, life-changing encounters with God. You can never tell me that. And it comes with having a love for truth. Timothy, preached the word in season and out of season. Preach it when it's things they want to hear. And preach it when it goes against the things they want to hear. But it ultimately, Timothy, it's the truth that's going to bring the revelation of the glory of God to people's hearts. I want to end with this. Last scripture, I want to end with this. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. One verse. Look with me at verse 24. This is Samuel talking to the Lord's people. Verse 24, he says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart." I love this part. "For consider how great things He has done for you." Serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He has done for you. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I really took some time with the Lord just to reflect over the 16 and a half years I've been saved and walked with God. And I can say in over the 16 and a half years I have walked with God, I have seen God do things in my heart that only God can do. I have seen God change me and change my heart in only ways that God can change. And I have seen God use my life to impact the lives of other people for all eternity in a way that only God can do. And just thinking about it, there's just such a gratefulness and a humility in my heart that God would just love me like He does and do these great things just because He loves me. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, the 16 and a half years, it's not been always been an easy road with the Lord. You know about it if you've walked with God, really walked with God. There's been a lot of testings and there's been a lot of trials. There's been times that God told me, "You're not running, you're going to face your fears. I know you are afraid. But these fears have captivated you too long and you're not going to run. You're going to stand. But if you stand and trust me, you will see the faithfulness of God." It's not been easy. There have been things in my life, God said, "Tim, you have to put on an altar. Things that you love, you have to put on an altar. There's nothing wrong with them, but they're not according to my will for your life. They don't go with the plan that I have for your life. You have to put them down on an altar and let them die." I can tell you, it's not always been an easy trip. But looking over the last 16 and a half years, all I can see is the faithfulness of the hand of God. God has been so faithful to me. And yeah, there has been a personal cost of walking with Him, but I can say this with all my heart, the goodness of God so outweighs the cost. And in my heart, I know that I know that I know He is so worthy of my whole heart and my whole life. The Holy Spirit says in His Word, you need to serve the Lord and love Him in truth with all of your heart. For consider the great things that He's done for you. I'm telling you, He's faithful. Stand with me this morning.